I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Father, it is indeed true that you have no rival and you have no equal. There is no one who truly, genuinely, factually compares with you. You belong to a class of your own, and you belong to that class all by yourself. That's why we lift your name tonight. We worship and we adore you. And we say, Lord, only you are God. May your name be praised forevermore. In everything we do in our lives, oh God, may it always point to one thing, that there is only one true God. May our lives always reflect that, oh God. In the name of Jesus, and may we be good messengers of that message, good carriers of that message to the world. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, please be seated. Amen. Now, in this service, we have been sharing about following people. Amen. We've been sharing about what? Following people. Amen. The art of following. And I believe following is very important. Amen. It's a much easier way to get to places than to find your way. Following is smoother. Following is quicker. Following is less stressful. Following is easier, and that makes following also safer. Amen. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation before where you were driving and trying to find the directions at the same time? You know, sometimes when the GPS says you should keep to the right, and there is no right. Have you been in that situation before? Or the road is splitting and you're wondering whether it's splitting here or is it just a little further. And as you're doing that, others are honking on you and you know, so many different things are happening and you get confused. And sometimes you have to stop in that middle way between the freeway and the exit. You see, it's like that V where the lines are crossed. You have to sort of stop there. Then just as you're trying to figure yourself out, the huge truck just passes and you feel like, you know, I'm not in the right place. Let me take the exit anyway. But if you had someone to follow, you would just follow them. You would be saved that trouble. Amen. So it's a blessing. It's something that God has put in this world to make our lives easier. The ability to see what others have done that has brought them blessing and success, and the humility to copy it and say, this is working here, or this person did this, so let me also try it and I'll copy it. Hallelujah. Even without understanding it, copying and following people allows you to enjoy things you don't even understand, because your understanding at that point does not qualify you to enjoy those things. But following them brings you into those things. Following someone can make you go to a place you don't know. You don't know the place. You don't have the address. You don't even know the map to the place. You don't know even who is there. But if you follow someone, you could find yourself in a good place. I remember many years ago, I went on a vacation to London. I was a student then in Ghana, and it was, you know, just holidays. So I went on a vacation to London. When I went to London, a friend of mine used to go to Action Church, you know, and I just followed him. He said, follow me. So I just followed him. And on the very first day that I went to the church, I got to have lunch in the pastor's house. Yeah, you know, if you know what Action is like, if you're in a pastor's house, you're in a solid place. You see. So, and that was, and I sat in the pastor's car actually to go to the pastor's house for lunch because I was following someone. Do you understand? Yeah, I was following him, and wherever he went, I also went. And that took me straight to a very high place that I didn't qualify to be there. I mean, I didn't even know the pastor. I'd never met him before. I didn't know his name, you know. And you know, that's how it played out. So following people is a blessing. Amen. It can be a great blessing for your life. And that's why Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. And the Bible says there that ye be not slothful. That means don't be lazy. Do you understand? Don't be lazy. Don't stand somewhere and say, hey, is that what you're doing? Hey, me, I can't. It's laziness. Hallelujah. But it's better for you to think that if others are doing it, I can also do it. Do you see what I'm saying? That must be the reason why the Bible talks about Elias in the book of James and says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Do you see what I'm saying? He's trying to find some commonality between you and someone who has done something great. And he's saying that even though he's just like you, he prayed. You see, he prayed that it should not rain, and it didn't rain. And then he prayed again that it should rain, and it rained. And so he's trying to show us that if somebody else did it, you can also do it. Do you understand? Yeah, you can also do it. That you need to be able to do it. That you can also apply yourself to it the way he did and have his kind of success. Can I have an amen? Amen. Some people, you know, wrongly quote the scripture that says that they which measure themselves among themselves are not wise. Do you see what I'm saying? And they say, don't compare me to anybody. You get it? Don't compare me to anybody. Don't compare me to anybody. But the truth is that we have to look at others. Do you see what I'm saying? What the Bible said we shouldn't do is, it says they measuring themselves, gauging themselves, do you see, among themselves are not wise. When other people are the standard, as it were. Do you get it? But there is a healthy, I don't want to say comparison, but association. Do you understand? Yeah, because that's how you know. If you have a child, for example, and your child is not growing, so how do you know there's something wrong? You just look at other children who are that age, and by that you should know that this child should. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, you should know that there's something wrong here. This is not how it's supposed to be. But if you had nobody to look at and just compare with you, you'd just be there and your child is about 15 years old and he's still there. And you say, oh, it's normal. That's not how it is. There's something seriously going on that needs to be checked. Can I have an amen? Same thing, husbands, wives. It's good to have someone, you know, who is before you that you can also rise up and follow. Do you get it? And just say that if they are doing it, I can also do it. Is that how it works? Strong winds overnight creating extreme fire danger. All right, we hear you. All right. Father, we bind the demons behind all these fires in the name of Jesus. Go away in the name of Jesus. And thank you for safe homes. They will not come near our dwelling places. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. So you see, as I was saying, it says Elias was subject to like passions as you are. So God is making a comparison if you like. He says, look, Elias is just like you. You see what I'm saying? So there's nothing wrong with finding somebody and finding some common ground and say, this guy is just like me. You see, oh, I have similar circumstances as this person. And if they are getting ahead in spite of the circumstances, I can also apply myself in a certain way to be able to at least come to the place where they are at, or at least head in that direction by the grace of God. Does it make sense what I just said? Right? So that's very, very important. And the verse says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen. It says, follow people who inherit the promises. Follow people who succeed. Follow people who are doing well. Follow people who are rewarded with the promise. Amen. Right. So we spent some time talking about Joshua. Today I want to talk about David. Amen. I just want to share with you a little bit about David and see what lessons we can learn from David. If we were to follow David, David was a successful person. Amen. And his testimony on the day or at the end of the chapter that describes his life has a very nice summary. You know, David's life has a very beautiful summary, you know. And hallelujah. Amen. So David's life has a beautiful summary, and I believe that that can also be your story. Amen. If you follow him and do things the way he did them, then you can also expect your life to have a conclusion like his life did. What do you think? Is it possible? Do you believe it is possible that God can bless you the way he blessed David? That God can make your life shine the way David's life shone? Hallelujah. Amen. So, what are the principles and what are the steps that David took that gave him the sort of end that God blessed him with? Number one is that, just give me a second. Okay. Number one is the art of not despising small things. The art of following David is the art of not despising small things. Amen. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. You know, I used to do something where I could have my Bible and my notes side by side, but I'm not seeing that anymore. So if you know how to do it, you can teach me after. Teach me again so I can follow you. Amen. Amen. Anybody knows how to do it? Any, you know what? Okay, I'd like to follow you. I will not be slothful, and I'll follow those who have inherited the promise. Okay. So you have to excuse me because now I'm toggling between the two places. But anyhow, what's the scripture I gave you? 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I'm reading from verse 20. David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper. Can you see? Left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And then he came to the trench. Jesse is the name of David's father. Okay. So he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. That means tax exempt, right? Hey, wow. Okay. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Verse 28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he speak unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. Hallelujah. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David speak, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Right? And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. You know. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the army, or defied, sorry, the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, the Lord be with thee. Amen. Is it not a powerful story? Right. So we're talking about the art of following David, which we're saying is the art of not despising small things. Hallelujah. Is the art of respecting small opportunities. It is the art of not taking little things for granted. Hallelujah. Now you notice how that, you see, it is his brother Eliab who tells us that actually David was a keeper of few sheep. Do you understand? Now until then, you know David as a shepherd boy. Do you understand? Nobody tells you how many sheep he actually has. It is an angry brother, do you see, who is speaking out of spite and out of disrespect. He's angry, actually, and irritated that his brother has come around. So he's probably choosing the most demeaning words possible, do you see, and trying to, you know, put his brother down and trying to tell him that a useless person like you has no business in a place like this. Are you getting the picture? So in his anger, he's speaking. He said, I know, even when he starts talking, he doesn't give his brother, he asks a question, but he doesn't give the brother a chance to even answer the question. Verse 28, Eliab, his eldest brother, when he speak unto unto the men, Eliab's anger was kindled against David. So he was angry to start with. All right. So everything he's about to say are the words of an angry man. Right. He said, why camest thou down hither? That's number one. It's a question. Now, before David can even say that daddy sent me with food to bring to you guys, you get it? Then he goes on to say, with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Do you see? That's question number two. Then after he has asked those questions, then he proceeds to answer them himself. He said, I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. This is why you came. And the answer that David gives, I think that David is used to hearing negative things from this brother. So he said, what have I done now? What today, what is my problem? What have I done? I'm always in trouble. Have you ever been in that situation before? It's like you're with certain people, you're always in trouble and you just wonder, what have I done now? What have I done again? You get it. And he said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? There is a battle. There's a fight going on. You guys are here. You are hungry. Daddy has sent me with food to come and give to you guys. That one I have come to. There's a problem. Now you are insulting me with my few sheep, the naughtiness of my heart. And you say I'm proud. All these things you are saying, where do you get them from? Do you see? And Eliab, meanwhile, this Eliab is an afraid man. Do you know afraid man? It means a man who is afraid. All right. And he's hiding. And David has come, says, give me a chance. I want to fight this guy. Hallelujah. But notice how David had few sheep. He was a keeper of few sheep. And yet, the small work of looking after few sheep eventually qualified him for the great opportunity of fighting Goliath, which was the opportunity of his lifetime, isn't it? The big break for David was this fighting with Goliath. This one fight with Goliath is the thing that made David into a great person, visibly. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, in everybody's life, God seems to start you off with small things, small opportunities, small tasks, small, you know, assignments, and little things that you can easily not respect. If you're going to walk with God, you need to learn to respect small things. You need to become a master at looking for God's hand in small things. That little things, see, because you're looking for a testimony, and testimonies by their nature are often fantastic, isn't it? When the story is finished, it's usually very fantastic. Do you understand? And you, and it sounds like it has to be fantastic for the miracle element in it to shine. Do you see? That's why Zola didn't want to share her miracle money testimony. Zola, we're waiting for you to share the money with all of us. We're all waiting. Right. Yeah. You see, three times, three different miracles. Do you see? Because everybody thinks a testimony that God's hand is in it, it must be powerful. Do you get it? It must be like the way the widow's son in Nain, they were going to the cemetery and Jesus walked up to the thing and he touched the thing and it stopped. And he said, young man, arise. And you start to clap. This is the hand of God at work. Hallelujah. But when God is leading you, do you see? Just like when you, if you were leading a little child, you see, the steps you would lead the child to take would be very little steps. You see, watch someone watching with a little child, they don't pull them along running. Even though the adult has the capacity to run. The adult is full of energy and has strength and he can actually run. He can take off. But to pull this little child along, you start the child off with steps as though you have no ability to run. That is how God leads his people. Are you getting what I'm saying? God has the power to take us into big things and into higher things and into great and mighty places. God has the power to do that. Do you understand? It is whether we can cope. It is for our sake that God will often begin with small steps. Are you getting what I'm saying? The fact that it's small doesn't mean that it is not God who is leading you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Just like the fact that the person is walking slowly. If you saw me walking with maybe Senna or so, I would not be dragging him along. Do you understand? I would be taking steps that he can handle. My steps will be determined by his abilities. That's what will determine the pace at which I'm working. What he can understand, what he can relate with. See, Senna, when we even laugh, he doesn't like it. Yeah, if you bring him here right now, we all just laugh. He's going to register a protest. It's like, why are you laughing? Do you understand? So even when he comes around, we have to sort of measure how we speak and be careful not to make, you know, a sudden loud noise to overwhelm him and all that. It's him. He's the one who is determining our behavior. Not what we are able to do, because if you leave it up to us, we can shout, we can scream. And when we meet people who can handle it, we make sure they get it. Is it not true? Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? So it is often for our sake that God moves at a certain pace. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And when you're a child of God, you need to respect God's pace. You need to respect the small things that God does. You need to respect the process that God takes us through, you know, from bringing us to, from a place of nothingness to a place of substance and to a place of greatness. Hallelujah. Anything that God is involved with often has a process that it goes through. And that process often runs from little, small, insignificant, all the way down to something that eventually becomes great. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, as to whether you will respect what God is doing, will you respect what God is doing? Because as we can see, up until this point, David has not had any real great opportunity. Do you understand? But one thing that David seemed to have is a healthy respect for the small opportunities and the small things that God had given to him. Can you see that? So it begins with when his father sends him. Verse 20 says, David rose up early in the morning and he left the sheep with a keeper. Can you see that? He rose up early in the morning and he left the sheep with a keeper. Do you see it? Now, we don't know how many there are at this point. It's the angry brother who tells us that the sheep, it wasn't anything serious. Are you getting the idea? Yeah. You see, if someone drove their car here, they would come in and they would park and you ask the person, how did you come? The person would just say, I drove here. But someone who is angry with him, who wants to put him down, who wants to despise him, will show up and say, hey, did you bring your jalopy? Do you get it? Then it's like you are now telling us that whatever the person brought is not even worth talking about. He might as well have taken the bus. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But as far as David is concerned, he got up and he felt that the sheep, they were few. No doubt, few. But he felt that the few sheep did not deserve to be left. Do you understand? Yeah, they didn't deserve just to be left. Just because he's going to witness a battle. So let me take my time and hand over the sheep to a responsible person who can take care of them. So I can go, you know, because even though they are few, I respect what God has given me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. Now, it isn't until later that we realize that even his qualification for the greater battle of fighting Goliath came from his experience with a few sheep. He had not fought anything like Goliath before. Do you see? But thankfully, the few sheep had given him a couple of experiences. Not many, two. That he had put on his resume, you know, when he was making his resume, he got to the experience part. He said two major experiences, the fighting of a lion and the fighting of a bear. Do you see? And the Bible said that he said God delivered him from the paw of a lion and from the paw of a bear, and that God would deliver him from the hand. You get it? That he knows that the hand is more complex than a paw. But God having delivered me from the paw twice, he will deliver me from the hand. Are you understanding what we are saying? So what we are sharing is very, very important, because across your life, you're going to find that God will give you many opportunities that are really small. Do you understand? And they are small for your sake. Because often we have a bloated impression of who we really are and what we are capable of. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Often we exaggerate what we can do. You know, even in the spirit of faith, and saying or claiming to have faith, you can actually take a step that is still bigger than you. What do you think? Yeah. you can take a step that is bigger than you. Sometimes children fall because they took a step that is way too big. You get it? It's true that you're trying to walk. It's true that you're trying to do something you haven't done before. I mean, you've been crawling on fours and now you want to do two, just like the people you see around your house. Do you see? But now where they are walking, even you are trying to run. Do you understand? And that's too much. And so children fall and they hurt themselves and they cry because they took steps that were too big for them. Hallelujah. I just want you to see how David, everything, you know, if you read on, it says, when he left the place and he got to the place, verse 22, it says, again, David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage. You see, so David is not just walking away from things just because he has seen a greater opportunity or a greater battle ahead of them, of him. Do you understand? When God has committed small things to you, you can't just walk away from them. Hallelujah. You can't just step away from it. You can't just move away and not care what happens to it. Amen. See, I'm traveling a lot and going up and down and so on. But I'm always thinking about the church. In fact, I try to come. I try very hard to come to church every Sunday. Do you understand? And when I cannot come to church, it's because I really, really cannot come to church. But as far as I'm concerned, I mean, my place is here on Sunday. It doesn't matter how many people come. But my place is here. This is what God has given to me. This is what God has committed to me now. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And I have to respect it. I have to respect it. And I have to make sure that it is working. I have to make sure that it's being taken care of. I have to make sure that it's being left, even when I leave it, left in good hands. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Find a good carriage keeper or a good keeper of the sheep. Do you understand? We're blessed to have Pastor Modene and Pastor Charles around. And so, and their presence makes all this traveling also possible. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But here is the thing that we need to understand, that small things are very important. And when God is leading us and leading us through a season of smallness, we must not despise it. You get it? Sometimes you can see members of a church, especially I've pastored a lot of small churches, starting churches. Sometimes you see the members want to go to a concert in some big church. And we are also trying to have our small prayer meeting. Do you understand? And you can see that there's such despisement because we are having this prayer meeting in somebody's living room and really maybe only two or three people will come. Do you get it? And there's a Hillsong concert somewhere, or there's Israel Hilton is somewhere having a concert. And you see, and there are some people who know that if we tell Apostle Joel we're going to this concert, he's going to say we should stay. So they don't even announce it. All you know is that they don't come. They just disappear. And then they meet you on Sunday with a smile because they know you know where they have been. Hallelujah. Yeah. But you see that people don't value the small thing. And they don't hesitate to walk away from the small thing, not caring what will happen to the small thing. That the small thing which needs attention. I mean, if you have a baby, you know, how much, or yeah, how long do you think the baby can stay without being given the constant attention that babies require? Do you see what I'm saying? That even to step away to have a shower, you need to put the baby in someone's care. Even just to take a shower, someone needs to watch the baby. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, and that's because it's a baby. But when there are grown-ups in the house, that's not how it is. When they are grown-ups, you just go and take your shower. And they should mind their own business and find something to do. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because they will survive. But little children will not survive. Small things need care. They need attention all the time. Amen. So you notice those of you who have places to go to and so on, say, anytime you tell me, I'm fighting for you to be around. I'm fighting for you to come back. You know, when people tell me, oh, I'm traveling to so-and-so, I say, no problem. When are you coming back? Is my question. Do you get it? And say, I'm coming on Sunday evening. Why Sunday evening? You need to come in the morning. You need to come in the morning because we are building something that cannot afford your absence. Are you getting what I'm saying? One day when we are grown and very large, we can afford your absence even for 3 months. Do you get it? You can go for 3 months. When you come back, we'll still be there. Because we'll be so large by the grace of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. But when we are building something, I mean, everybody is very important. Not just for you, the role that you play, but even your physical presence. Are you following what I'm saying? Do you know that when you have a baby, sometimes you need to be around the baby? Not that you're doing anything for him per se, but the baby needs to feel that you are there. Because being there itself is a ministration. Do you understand? That you are around itself is a ministration. That you are around. You are not doing anything. You are not saying anything. The baby likes to see you just around. And if you get up and walk away, he'll start to cry. Do you see? You didn't do anything to him. You just walked away. And he doesn't like it. Small things are like that. They are sensitive to a person's presence. Can I have an amen? That is why David didn't walk away from his small things. David made sure that there was a keeper. He made sure that there was someone to do what he would have done if he had been there. Can I have an amen? Made sure there was someone to take care of the sheep and someone to look after them and to make sure that those few sheep do not end up being scattered. Hallelujah. Amen. And respecting those small opportunities eventually led David into a place of greatness. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes we are in such a hurry to be successful, in such a hurry to get to the top, in such a hurry to see big things, that we don't take the small steps properly. Do you see what I'm saying? And when you don't take the small steps properly, you get to the top and find yourself wanting and find yourself lacking the things that God, you know, wanted to give you as you were growing through the process. Amen. Amen. You see, sometimes you see children who grow very big very quickly. Especially ladies, you can see a young lady who's grown very big, very quickly, and she's only 12. You see, and then when she walks down the street, people think she's 22 and they start hitting on her, and she responds with her 12-year-old mind. Do you see what I'm saying? The brain is only 12 years old, but the body has hurried up, you see, and has translated and transformed itself into the body of a woman. It's gone. So as it's moving around, everybody thinks they are seeing a woman, but what they are really seeing is a child inside a woman's body. Can you understand what I'm saying? You get it? Then you start to attract temptations and problems and pressure that you're not grown enough or mature enough to handle. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, that's how it is when people rush into things. People don't stay and people don't humbly settle and allow God to take you through the process of growing up. There is a reason for growing up. There must be a reason why we are all born small. Because God knows how to give birth to people as grown-ups. He's done it before. Adam was born as a grown-up and so was Eve. Soon after Eve was born, it was her wedding day. After God finished making Eve, the Bible says he took her and brought her straight to Adam. So the day of his birth and day of her birth and the day of her wedding, same day. Do you see? Similar to Amabel. Hallelujah. The day I met Amabel for the first time was also her wedding day. Hallelujah. Are you getting it? So God knows how to do it, if that's what we need him to do. But God has a reason why he allows us to begin small and to go through life and to go through the experience of growing up, making mistakes, learning, being taught different things, rebukes, correction, and eventually brings us to the place that he has appointed for us. And we must be patient. Can I have an amen? We must be patient. We must be patient. You will not become great in one day. You have to be patient and allow God to bring you to the place of greatness. And you do that by respecting the small steps you have to take on the way to becoming great. Sometimes it feels like you're wasting time. Do you see? It feels like you're wasting your time. But there is no such thing as wasting your time. Do you see? Yeah, there is no such thing as wasting your time. You are not wasting your time. You are growing up. It's called growing up. Hallelujah. It's called growing up. You're not wasting your time. It's a necessary stage. Hallelujah. It's a necessary stage that we must all go through in order to become great. Hallelujah. Jesus taught us three principles in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. Jesus teaches us, number one, is the principle of being faithful with small things. Being faithful with small things. You see, being faithful with small things. The Bible says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Hallelujah. So right here, God is revealing his purpose for allowing people to have a season of being the least and a season of being, of not having much. Do you see? Because that is how God tests, and that is how God qualifies people for much. Now, even you do that all the time, that you don't test things with a lot, isn't it? If you want to try something, sometimes you're even ironing something and you want to know whether the temperature of the iron is good for the shirt. You don't behave like I did when I was about 4 or 5 years old. I remember my mother had bought me a t-shirt. It was a nylon t-shirt that she had bought for me, and I couldn't wait to wear it. So I think we were going to see one of my cousins or something like that. And then I went, sneaked into her room, found the t-shirt, and I stole it. Then I realized it was crumpled. So I took it to the ironing board to iron it. Then I lay it on the ironing board and took the iron and put it in the middle. You know, when I put it in the middle and I moved it, I realized it wasn't moving. So I lifted it back up. When I took it back up, it brought both the front and the back of the t-shirt. It brought the whole thing out. Do you see? Yeah. Then I saw that trouble had come. I took the t-shirt. I folded it nicely. I took it back to the room and I put it exactly where I had found it. You know, now the problem was what to do with the iron. So I looked left and right. Then I took the iron took it around the back of the house. I had seen these guys in the house who ironed for my dad. I'd seen them do this thing where they take the iron and this, they sort of try to iron the ground, the soil. Yeah, and then it scrapes the under. Yeah, so I took it around the back and I also went to do that. And when I did it, it didn't work. You see, so I do remember that I was in a lot of trouble for doing that because I didn't understand. But the way we escape such problems is that you would take that same t-shirt and you would iron a small, tiny piece of it, isn't it? And the way the shirt responds in that small corner, just a small corner of the shirt, that response determines what you do with the shirt, isn't it? It qualifies it for the rest of the ironing experience. That it took the small one well, it can take the rest of it well. You can never make a good case before God that, oh, it was just small, that's why I behaved like that. You give me the big one and see what I will do. You can never win such an argument with the Lord. It says the person who is faithful in small things, that which is least, that which does not really matter much, that which is not significant, a person who is faithful in that, that person is faithful. He is not that he will be. He says he is. He has something in him that makes him the same person who is faithful in much. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are not talking about how he will become in future. No. He already is like that. And the way we know it is how he behaves with a small one. Hallelujah. That is why we test the shirt. We test the corner of the shirt and we know the way it's behaving here. It's not that if this passes, then this will also mature to pass. No. It's like that already, and this is a piece of it. We test a small corner, and if that part fails, or if that part passes, we know that the rest of the shirt is like that. Can I have an amen? We are not now going to make it like that. It's already like that. Amen. So that is how God finds faithful people. That is how God determines who is unjust. You find people who very easily tell small lies. Do you get it? Just casually, they'll just speak a lie. Right now, they'll just tell you a lie. Such people are unjust in the least. Even in things that don't really matter, they are lying. What do you think they'll do when they are in things that matter or in situations that matter? Are you getting it? Says, he that is unjust in the least. So small things are an important determinant, you know, of how people will behave with big things. That's why you must not take small things for granted. What you're seeing is what it is. Are you getting what I'm saying? You must not take small things. You must not say, oh, this is small. This is nothing. Because it is the way people are with small things that gives you a window into what they will be with big things. Do you see what I'm saying? And it's not that they are going to develop into that, but they are that. They are that, just waiting for the opportunity. And you will see. Sometimes you see people manifest, especially people who are rebellious. When you enter into rebellion, often when people have rebelled, especially in churches and so on, at the point of rebellion, then you see a lot of people now saying that, this person, he said this at this time. He said that at this time. When it was like, he made a funny comment and, I was wondering what he really meant and so on. Those were all the small signs of the big thing that was already there. Are you getting the picture? Yes, but you despise them because they were small. That's why we must not take those little things for granted. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. You take someone like David. It is the same attitude David had. I mean, I'm here, we have the sheep. Then you, lion, you want to come and eat my sheep. Do you understand? Why? So he rose up and he fought the lion. Then he goes to another place. The whole situation is just scaled up. Same thing. Imposing Goliath. Coming to frighten the people of God. Same attitude. He just looked, why? Why? Who is this guy who is just coming to frighten the people of God? He says he's defying the armies of the living God. Why? For what reason? So the same spirit rose up in him. It's just that he was like that. Do you get it? He was like that. And it showed up in small things. And the same thing showed up when he was in a big situation. Are you getting the picture? If you want to know yourself, even watch how you behave with small things. Do you see? Yeah, watch how you behave with small things. How you use money when it's not much. That's the same way you're going to use money when you have a lot. That is why people who say, oh, when I have more money, I'll do this. Usually you shouldn't believe such people. You should check what they are doing with what they have now. Everything they are doing with what they have now is an indication as to what they will do when they have more. So if the person doesn't have much, he cannot share. And you believe that somehow when he has more, then he will be more generous. Do you see? But generosity is not driven by quantity. Do you understand? That's not what makes people generous. People are generous and it's separate from how much they will give. That a person's willingness, the Bible says, if there be first a willing mind. Have you thought about that scripture in 1 Corinthians? Look at it. Look at that scripture very quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter. See, I need to open two Bibles now. Okay. 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. Chapter number 8. Right? Chapter 8 and verse 12. Look at it. It says, if there be first a willing mind, can you see? It is accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. So it means that the willingness to give is separate from how much the person gives. Isn't it? It means there is something that moves first. Before the quantity comes to follow. Isn't it? If there be first a willing mind, if there be first a willing mind, then it's accepted according to what a person has. So a willing mind first, then depending on what the person has, that willing mind may make the person give you more or less. That's determined by how much they have. Do you understand? But how much they have does not impose the willing mind. People do not have a willing mind just because they have a lot. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. They are two separate things. So you need to watch out and look at yourself and just consider what you're doing with little. Because everything you're doing with little is speaking about what you will do with much. Can I have an amen? Does it make sense? Then the second principle Jesus taught us is the principle of being faithful with another man's things. That's in verse 12. Being faithful, Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. It says, for if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give thee that which is your own? Hallelujah. If you have not been faithful with what belongs to another person, who will give you that which is your own? Hallelujah. So now it means that the journey to that which is your own passes through another man's, whether his house or his domain, I should say. Do you get it? Something you're doing for another man right now is qualifying you for your own. Are you getting the picture? But you find a lot of people who don't want to do anything for another man. They just want to shoot straight to their own. Are you getting it? But this verse is saying that if you don't, you are not faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? It means looking after that which is another man's is always a prelude to that which is your own. God will give you something which is your own, but not before he has given you something which belongs to another person. Are you getting the picture? Actually, you know, yesterday, my wife was showing me something. You know, we have a new Homeland Security Secretary, right? Right. And she was telling me the story of the new Homeland Security the Secretary. Was a lady. You know the Chief of Staff in the White House is a guy called Kelly. Do you know? Do you know these type of things? Okay. So, John Kelly, I think is his name, right? And the lady was working, the Homeland Security person, I think her name is Neeson or something like that. She used to work for John Kelly. John Kelly used to be the Homeland Security Secretary for about 6 months before he became the White House Chief of Staff. Before he came to the White House, there was always some problem. Isn't it? The stories have leaked, all these type of things. And then when he came, all that nonsense stopped. Right? So he had a lady who was working for him. A lady who was very devoted. In fact, I was reading the article. It said that the lady was known for... Let me just find it. It's right here. I'll just read that little part to you. Right? Oh, there it is. It says here, it says, the Senate voted Tuesday to confirm Kirsten, I think her name is M. Nielsen, as the next Secretary of Department of Homeland Security, installing a close confidant of White House Chief of Staff John Kelly to lead the federal agency responsible for carrying out many of President Trump's most ambitious domestic policy plans. Right? Then it says, listen, it says, Nielsen, 45 is her age, developed a reputation for fierce devotion to Kelly. Right? She developed a reputation for fierce devotion to Kelly as his deputy at the White House. Before that, as his chief of staff at the Department of Homeland Security, which he ran from January till July, right? So what they are saying is that this Kelly guy, when he was at the Homeland Security, was working with this lady, do you see? And then when he moved from Homeland Security to the White House, he brought the lady to come and be with him in the White House. And everybody knew the lady as being fiercely devoted to Kelly. Do you see? Now look what happened. I'm sure that when Donald Trump was thinking, who can I get to become the Homeland Security Secretary? He's asking Kelly. And Kelly says, this is a no-brainer. Right here. Here's the person, and Donald Trump can believe it. He can obviously watch what the lady has been doing, the way she used to be with this man, has worked for the man. The man came here, she came with him, and when she came here, she has demonstrated, you know, it says she was fiercely loyal to the guy. And Trump is thinking, a person who can be faithful in the least, you get in that which is another man's, she's now qualified to get her own. Are you getting the picture? You see, people who have a certain mentality that if it's not my own, I'm wasting my time doing it well. I'm wasting my time looking after it. I'm wasting my time working well. You can just tell sometimes people have a very bad attitude even at work. And the whole mind is that it belongs to somebody else. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, it's a deception because in working, you will always work for somebody else before you get to work for yourself. How do you even know what to do for yourself? The way you know what to do for yourself is from what you have done for others. It is what you have done for others that exposes you even to what you can do for yourself. That is what exposes you to what needs to be done to start with. We are not naturally born knowing what needs to be done. It is what people ask you to do that instructs you in what needs to be done. That's how you know what it needs to be done. What do people want? What do people need? That's how we know it. So when God gives you an opportunity to work under somebody, or gives you an opportunity to work for somebody, to do something for someone, you hurt yourself when you disrespect that opportunity. When you disregard that opportunity and tell yourself that this is something that is another man's. Let me do my own. Let me work for myself. Let me hurriedly go work for myself. Let me go and do something that will benefit me. Let me do... You see, that mind is a wrong mind. And that mind will keep you down forever. Because as long as you don't do well with that which belongs to another man, you have not yet qualified for that which is your own. According to the scripture, if you have not been faithful, you have not achieved faithfulness in that which is another man's, you do not qualify to get that which is your own. What do you think? Read it with me. 1, 2, 3, go. And if... Who shall give you that which is your own? If you have not been faithful, you know, so starting tomorrow, when you go to work, begin to have a different attitude. Do you understand? Start thinking of what you're doing now as a necessary step to what you'll be doing later. And start to see that what you are doing now, right now, is qualifying you for what you will be doing later. Hallelujah. You notice that is how God promotes people. You know, when Moses died, the Bible says God came to call Joshua, who was Moses' minister, and said, Moses, your boss is dead. You know, so now you arise. Do you understand? Yeah, your boss, the one that you used to serve, pour water on his hands, he's dead, so now it's your turn. Rise up and come. Hallelujah. And you see that that is what drives prosperity. That is what drives success. That is what drives greatness. What you do for other people. Hallelujah. Do not despise the small things that you're doing. Amen. Many people have ended up, you know, chatting a course for their careers just by going to work for someone. Sometimes I've wondered how people get into certain jobs, and like you hear someone, he owns a factory, he makes, you know, something weird and unusual, like he makes bolts and nuts. You wonder, what exactly does a person have to study in school? And what are his hobbies that make him decide to open a factory that makes bolts and nuts? You get it's not one of those natural things, you know, where a person has a passion that, as for me, one day I'll own a factory, I'll be making bolts and nuts. Something so boring. do you get it? Yes, I always think about that. I was at the airport the other day and I saw this plastic shrink wrap thing, you know, and I saw the bale of it that was being used. And I said to myself, so someone also owns a factory that makes a boring thing like this. What will make you want to make this plastic thing, a bale of plastic that you just wrap around things? What will make you make such a thing? But you will find that those kinds of things that people do, those kinds of jobs, often it's not a passion that leads people into it. Do you see? But rather what people have done for another person. And then as they have worked in that place, they have learned the business. And they have been exposed to it, and they've realized there's a lot of money in something that people don't naturally think about. I tell you, you can gather a room full of students in high school and ask them, what are you going to do after school? I don't think, if you have even 100 of them, I don't think anybody will tell you, I'm going to make plastic shrink wrapping. I don't think anybody will say that. Because those kinds of things is not a passion or a hobby that leads you to making those things. Do you get it? But rather, it is faithfully serving someone who is doing it that introduces you to it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. See, I have a brother who works in, he sells, you know, medicines. I was just going to say he sells drugs, but he sells proper medical supplies. Now, that brother of mine, he's not a pharmacist. Do you see? But when he was done with school, he found a man who had a pharmacy shop. And the man employed him to work as a, you know, just a shop, whatever. He would send him, go to such and such a place and go and take my supply of medicine. That man was a pharmacist. But my brother was just working for him. You know, he would go to this place, go and clear the goods from the harbor, go and bring this, go and buy this, go and, you know. And after working for that man for some years, then my brother came to understand that business. Do you see? Then he said, this business. When my brother went to school, he studied electrical engineering type of things, not pharmacy and medicines. This, do you see the thing? Today, his whole business is based on that. Because after he had worked for some time for that man, then eventually, I'm not sure how they parted ways, but then my brother started to have his own business. Do you see? And now he has his own business. He has a lot of suppliers from Germany and England and all these places. And he imports medical supplies for the government hospitals. Yeah, he imports them. And he's not a pharmacist. Doesn't know anything about pharmacy. I can tell you that. You get it. But that's what he does. And it's from being faithful. You will not know certain things unless you work for someone. You have to work for someone before you know. Some things are just secrets. You will never know there's money in this business. But as you do it, you get it, John Jack, as you work for this guy and do the bakery stuff and so on, it's like you're doing something. Before you know it, one day you have become a professional baker. Wow. Yeah, and it was never your plan. Never your plan that you would be a baker or own a big bakery or something like that. It was never your plan. But just being faithful to someone who is doing something you are not likely to choose. Yeah, because if we put a classroom full of high schoolers and we ask them how many of you are going to be bakers, none of them will choose. Nobody will say they are going to be a baker. But who ends up becoming the rich bakers? Who own huge bakeries and factories, supplying so many shops and so many places. They're so rich. And usually such people have served somebody. They've done this job for somebody. And that job taught them. It opened their eyes. You get it? It gave them their faithfulness to it. Qualified them. He says, who will give you that which is your own? So the secret was given to them. It was given to them from being faithful with somebody's own. And then suddenly they began to see a path that people will not choose. Do you get it? Yeah. You see people who own 1-800 got junk. Again, it's another job nobody will choose. If you ask those people in the class, how many of you will be working with junk? Nobody will choose it. Nobody will choose that. But someone who has faithfully driven the truck for such a junk company can easily become the owner of the next big one. Yeah, he will become the owner of the next big one because he has seen it. And after faithful, and if you don't do it faithfully, you won't understand the whole thing. It only answers to your faithful service. It will never give you its secrets unless you have faithfully served it. If you serve it halfway, it will give you half of the secrets. If you serve it faithfully all the way, it will hand all the secrets to you. And when the secrets come to you, you will now qualify to have your own, because that has been given to you. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I've just shared with you? So change your attitude towards your job. Change your attitude, whoever you work for, whatever you do for them. Change your attitude. Instead of being negative, be positive. Be happy and be blessed that God has given you such an opportunity. Because one day that person will not be there. Maybe one day you will be the next person who has the experience and the knowledge. You're going to open the next bolt factory. Because you know all the people who need bolts. If I ask you now which people buy bolts, you will not be able to tell me. You don't know who is interested in bolts and not. But if you had just worked for somebody who know, we supply airlines, we supply shipping companies, we supply people who do this. You know, the other day I was asking some people, so who are the people who build the ships? What do they want? You know, what hobby or career path do you have to choose to end up dealing with containers? Do you know containers? What exactly do you want in life that makes you like containers? But I know some Russians who own some warehouse. They just deal in containers. Man, if you stand there for even 30 minutes, you can smell millions. You just have to stand there for a few minutes and you say, there must be a lot of money here. Yeah. But the whole place, of course, is very, very dirty. The whole place is very dirty. Everybody looks crazy. Everybody looks like they don't even speak English and so on. But it is when you go to their car park and you see what they drive that tells you there's something here. Are you getting it? Yeah. So let's be faithful. Amen. Let's be faithful with small things. Small things even in the church. Small assignments you're given to do. You know, somebody was sharing a testimony at the First Love Church the other day that I think he was taking photographs at the church, isn't it? You remember that testimony? Said he was taking photographs at church and then he went to look for a job. And then the people found out he could do something like that. And that has become his main something. It's become a blessing. You get it? And some of the things we do in church, you'll be surprised to find out at your workplace you're the only one who can do it. You get it. Your boss will go and buy a PA system. He's coming to have a meeting, wants to install it in the conference room. Then you realize he doesn't even know how to use it. And then you are going to come with your church experience and say, turn this on, turn this on, turn this on. Suddenly there's a second reason why you must be employed. When they're asking people to go, you can't go. They can't let you go because you're the one who knows how to do other things as well. Hallelujah. May God increase your value to your employer. As you respect small things in Jesus' name. Say amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Our time is gone. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody close your eyes and pray. Pray and thank God for every small opportunity that he has given you. Thank God for the job you're doing now. And thank him for the opportunity. Just thank him for the opportunity. Thank you, Lord. Thank him for the opportunity that you have to do something small. Because one day it will speak for you. One day, it will be the qualifier. It will be the main thing that qualifies you. To be the main reason why you in particular are qualified to do something that you otherwise would not qualify to do. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Makabo shatabala babara babaya. Mushokotoriyalama sundeli bikatali babaya. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for the blessedness of the opportunities that you give to us. The opportunities that you have given us now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for the jobs. Thank you. Thank you for the exposure and the experience in the name of Jesus. Even for the church work that we do, Lord, we thank you for your blessing. Thank you for the opportunity. May we not complain, but help us to be faithful with the little things. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. All right. Have you learned something today? Are you glad you came to church? How many are going to apply it? How many can think of an opportunity? Can you see that where you work and what you're doing right now is an opportunity for you? Yes. One day you'll be surprised that's what you are interested in. That will become the business you are doing. You'll be surprised. That's what will bring you wealth. Because you are faithful with that which belonged to another man. And that qualified you. It taught you everything. Because you were faithful, he showed you so many things. Do you get it? Because you did it well, you learned how to do it well. And then you were doing it for someone, but you didn't know that you were acquiring the skill. Do you see? That will qualify people to choose you. Do you see? Yeah. Or qualify you for people to choose you, I mean. Hallelujah.